we thought we was in paradise in Big City. It was beautiful country. We lived there in, I think it was October, and went to Camp Anza, California. Camp Anza, California was about a few miles out of Riverside, California. And all we did there was practice abandoned ship, climbing up and down the side of the great wall they had with nets on it, like they throw over the side of the ship where troops could climb down. And preparing us for a trip overseas, what they were doing. And then we went from there to Long Beach, California. Long Beach was the port of embarkation. Did I say that right? For the troops to leave to go overseas? Okay. Gangplank. What they call a gangplank is real. They let a big, long thing down and the troops climbed onto the ship. They call it a gangplank. The ship gets as close to the dock as it can get, and then they drop this long thing like down to the dock, and it's got bars on each side, handrails on each side that you climb. Climb onto the ship. Then we was off to Australia. It took 15 days for us to get to Australia. 15 days and nights, straight going. But the ship zigzagged. The reason they do that, after it's so far out, they start zigzagging. It never gets straight. It turns right, then left, then back right, then back left. And you look behind to see where it had been zigzagging like a snake crawl. Mm-hmm. They do that so that torpedoes would have a hard time to hit it from a distance away. Well, then the ship back in Melbourne, Australia. We stayed there for a couple of days, and then we was off to the Indian Ocean. I think the Indian Ocean is long about 2 or 3 days out. I may be wrong. I can't remember whether the equator was before or after Australia. But we crossed the equator. We lose or gain a day, a whole day. And then on into a few miles off of Pearl Harbor. It's not Pearl Harbor.
Singapore.
I said that wrong. A few miles off of Singapore was on it. They told us we was 150 miles from Singapore, and the Japs was holding Singapore at the time. And it was a long troop ship, but we didn't know that. We didn't know that we was 150 miles from Singapore until later. Why the Japs didn't come out after us, I don't know. Being a long troop ship out in the middle of the ocean. We could only fight about with one gun, we wouldn't have had a chance. But we arrived in Bombay, India, and anything can happen in Bombay, India. This was about probably 1st of November, 1944. I could have the dates a few days off, but not much. And like I told you before about the Indian woman run up and threw a baby, a little Indian baby, at a GI and run and got lost in the crowd. This happened when a group of us was walking down the streets in Bombay. And there were so many Indians, that many thousands of them in the streets. Those people were so poor that they lay in front of the grocery store and starved to death. Looking at food. During the night, they come around and pick up those ones that died in drugs. It's a terrible thing to see, you know, something like that. And when we boarded the train and was ready to pull out, the Indian police had come along with billy clubs and hit them on their fingers and make them fall off the train. because it was, I was hanging on, wanting to go to the next town, thinking maybe they could be better somewhere else. And they climb on the troop train and hang on.
Mm-hmm.
And not just two or three, hundreds of them. And the guy come along with a billy club, hitting them on the hands and make them fall off. Couldn't get them all off. But there's some hanging on all the time. This troop train was a narrow gauge track, and it was probably a British train engineered by American troops. The army engineers had their own train engineers, and they operated the trains. They operated everything we did in India. We did our own, and we would rode in these cars, and they weren't pulling the cars like we have in the United States. Those kind of cars were just, they had benches nailed to the wall, and we slept in the floor. And they had all kind of bugs, chinches, like we have. I guess you've heard of them. I haven't seen one in years, but we used to have them when I was a kid. Those things would bite you, you couldn't sleep. We had the British troops was right next to the car, and I used to go and ride in the British train with the British troops, and I enjoyed that. I had a ball talking to those guys. They had a lot of crazy ideas, and we still didn't know where we were going. We had days of this, and the water. We didn't have decent water to drink. We couldn't get it. It was all over. So when the train would stop, we'd take an old steel helmet and go up to the engine, and the engineer would pull a string and let some of the condensate water off the boiler fill our helmet. And that water had been boiled at least, okay? And we used it for drinking water.
Hmm.
We didn't have, we couldn't stop and boil water in India. Water had to be boiled. There was no such thing as clean water any place ever. No place that you could go you'd find clean water. So what we did, we'd boil the water, and after the water was boiled, don't care what it looks like, it might be safe to drink, okay? And this is the way we did it. When we came to a river, the train couldn't cross the river. And to make a long story short, what they had to do was take the ferry. The track went right up to the riverbank, and they take one engine, the ferry boat brand, take the engine and three cars and go down the river. And stay gone for a while. And then in two or three hours, the thing would come back with an engine, and he'd take three more boxcars onto the ferry. And the ferry would go away again, and the ferry transferred all the cars across the river with the engine, bring the engine back and get all until they get the last ones, and then they took the troops, the last trip took the troops on the ferry. And meanwhile, we'd just sit around and wait.
Play the waiting game,
and we didn't care because it was just like the big bird come out of the sky and took the sandwich right out of your hand. If you was eating the sandwich, the big bird, it's funny. This is where it happened, right where we crossed the river. There was birds flying around in the air, and they could see you eating, and they'd come right down and take what you're eating away from you. And you had to watch it. The British troops, we trade sea rations for bread. They had bread and butter. British is real famous for bread and butter, but we didn't have bread and butter. I don't know how they had it in their rations that they carried along with them. We trade with them. We got tired of eating sea rations all the time. I give part of my sea rations to the Indians at bay. I would give them. If I was not hungry, I would give my sea rations to them. And I remember that They would come up close and hold out their hand and say, Baksi Sahi, meaning please sir. They're famous for begging all over the country. They beg like father, like son. They cut the little baby's leg off so that he'd be a beggar like his father. They take him, remove the three fingers between the little finger and the thumb. They leave the little finger and the thumb on the baby's hand, but they'd take the other fingers off so that he would hold up one little finger and thumb and say, Baksi Sahi. He would always be a beggar, like father, like son. Mm. Does this make sense to you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's a different world.
Yeah, you better believe it. It's a different world. And when the train, we went on to Lower Assam, India. The Assam is the state, the province. The state, like Providence. And it is the last state or province before you enter Burma. And this is where we were. This is where we were in the staging area. And I was assigned to 172nd General Hospital that we had taken medical training. And that's where we took advanced training at that hospital over in Utah, at Bushnell General.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we were doing there, was taking advanced hospital training and preparing us for assignment. But we didn't set up. We didn't set up a hospital. We was assigned to 172nd General Hospital, but we didn't set up a hospital. We just was in the staging area. So they put everybody on detached service, meaning that some of the guys in our outfit went to 20th General Hospital in Lido, India. And the 20th General Hospital in Lido, India was taking care of all the troops in the area and all the wounded that was being sent back that far back. And that was a long ways from the war front. That was a long ways from the front line at that point. And they had two general hospitals in that area. They had the 69th General, 20th General in operation. 69th General was about 25, 30 miles away. And the 20th General, the 172nd General Hospital was on hold for assignment. We didn't know where we'd be sent to later. So they put everybody on detached service somewhere, and they sent me to a driver's school. I was assigned to a Chinese driver's school. This Chinese driver's school was training Chinese troops to drive American trucks. And I was one of the instructors. And what they did, they went into the jungles, and they bulldozed and cleaned out an area big enough to make ranges like circles a half mile around. Three circles a half mile around. And we'd start out telling these troops exactly how to... First thing, we'd tell them what a truck is, okay? Some of these people didn't even know what the thing was. And you wouldn't believe that they sent troops over there. And the way they got them over there, the whole idea was that the United States was transporting war goods from India through India into China for the war front.
Mm-hmm.
And they had to go in through the Himalayas. The Himalayas is the roughest territory in the whole world. And they flew planes over the Himalayas into Kunming, China, which is about a few hundred miles north of North Korea. If you can think about where that might be, north of North Korea. And then you go into places like Tibet. Then you go into places like the Himalayas on the China side. I was on the India side of the Himalayas. And our destination were to transport war materials from India to China through the Himalayas. Whether we do it by plane or truck. And when the steel Stillwell Road was finished in the early part of probably 44. The United States started transporting gasoline material, mostly gasoline, war materials of all description. Let's change that. War materials of all description by truck on the Burma Road by condor. The Burma Road was the road that the Chinese finished in the years between 1934 and 44. And then Stillwell, General Stillwell, and his army finished the Stillwell Road and attached it to the Burma Road and completed that route from India to China.